Blog Talk Radio. Listening to Paranormal Horizon.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter.
Welcome once again to another edition of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir. Pat Rice is unable to make the show tonight, so it is going to be all me. I'm going to have to put my A game on this evening. So tonight we are going to be talking about conspiracy theory. Now it's funny because the other day I was on Edwin Becker's show, The Hot Zone, and it's a show about conspiracy. And I called in and kind of talked a little bit about conspiracy on that show, and it wasn't until then that I realized that, you know what, I know a lot about conspiracy. And then I started to think back at all the stuff I watch and read on the internet, and most of it, 80% of it, isn't about ghosts, it's not about UFOs, it's about conspiracy. So over the years, I have amassed a wonderful amount of knowledge regarding conspiracy theory. So hopefully we can share some of those things that I have learned this evening. And I do want to mention that during the latter half of the show, we'll be taking callers. So if anybody has a question or comment about a conspiracy, or even better, if somebody knows of a conspiracy that we don't, maybe somebody that works at Area 51 or in the government that could give us some breaking news, that would be totally awesome, although I don't think that that's very likely this evening. You can call into the show at 215-383-3999. So I'm going to start the show off with a little bit of news. I didn't spend a lot of time. I've been really busy. I had to work on a pretty difficult essay for school, so I didn't have a lot of research time. But a story did come across my desk, my internet desk, that's out of India. A flying humanoid terrifies witnesses in, now my pronunciation, I can't even say that word, the pronunciation of this town, I don't know, Qutub, Qutub, Minar, India. A bunch of people, a large group of people, and it almost looked like they were in some sort of tourist location with, you know, these ancient buildings. And some guy had a camera out, and lo and behold, there is this humanoid figure hovering maybe 70 feet above the ground. And what's interesting about the video and why it's kind of different than a lot of other videos out there is it appears that, you know, many people in this video are reacting to this hovering figure. They're screaming, they're pointing, and, you know, yeah, I'm sure it's fake, you know, it's me, I'm Jason, the big skeptic and all. So, but it is kind of interesting. So this figure is hovering there, and everybody's reacting to it, and then after a few seconds, it shoots off, like, literally like Superman. I mean, it's stationary, and then it zips off like a UFO. I don't know. It was kind of trippy. So everybody was screaming. So that's an interesting story coming out of India. And I, for the life of me, I have to believe that it was just somebody messing with a computer and maybe got a bunch of people together to, you know, react beforehand and then added it in. And so it was pretty interesting. Another interesting story that came out, and I didn't write any notes on it, and I just spotted it before the show started, was the title of that story was "A UFO Attacks Some Taliban in Afghanistan." And again, that's another video that is out there. And basically it shows a couple soldiers are inside of what appears to be a Humvee, and they're videotaping from the inside out of this large expansive area. It was panned out, and above this area is this large hovering triangular UFO. And it hovers there for a second, and suddenly you see the flash of like a machine gun from the UFO and massive explosions all over the ground. And, you know, they were like, the soldiers were reacting like, oh my God, that was so cool. I don't doubt for a second that that video is fake. And if you want to find either of these videos, you can find them on YouTube. You can type in "Flying Humanoid Terrifies Witnesses" into YouTube, or "UFO in Afghanistan Attacking." I'm sure those videos will come up. But with this UFO video, I'm sure it's fake, you know, because the soldiers in the vehicle, they were reacting to the large explosions, but they weren't saying, hey, look at that strange aircraft, you know, that's shooting it. And I somehow doubt that we have secret technology in the Middle East that soldiers aren't going to react to. So in my mind, they should have reacted to the type of craft. So it was probably some kind of CG, but it is kind of cool. So those are the news stories for the week. And again, if you would like to call in, 215-383-3999, and I'll get to the callers a little bit later in the show. So again, the show is Conspiracy Theory. Now, I'm looking at my notes here. So the way I'm going to open this show today is talk about some conspiracy theories that turned out to be true. So I'm going to go through a list of conspiracy theories that, you know, people were wondering about, and lo and behold, years or decades later, you know, legitimate documents were released, and some things that people were wondering about basically turned out to be true. So I have a list of six for you this evening. Now, these aren't necessarily in any particular order. And they aren't necessarily the best ones. They're just ones that I have picked out of many. There are dozens of conspiracy theories that turned out to be true. The first one, MKUltra. The CIA administered drugs and practiced mind control without people's consent. And that is a true one. I don't remember exactly how that story broke, but I think it was in the 70s. Where the CIA was busted giving people LSD, lysergic acid, and trying to see if that, along with other types of techniques, would allow them to be able to control the minds of people. And in some cases, it was without their consent. How heinous is that? You know, one of my biggest fears, and this is true, is I eat fast food, not a whole lot, but I do, or when you go to a restaurant, one of my biggest fears is that somebody's going to put something in my food. I don't know why that is. It's never happened to me before, but I always worry about that. And I always thought that, you know, somebody that puts a substance and has another buddy consume it without their knowledge, I always thought that that was one of the worst things that you could do to somebody. So the CIA way back in the 70s, 60s were doing some shady stuff. Number two, asbestos. In 1962, epidemiologists established beyond any doubt that asbestos manufacturers had known for a long time that asbestos had causes cancer. So there you go. Apparently, you know, as we know, a lot of manufacturers of various products tend to, even if they know that there's something bad about them, or they, you know, if they make people sick, tend to not say anything about it, you know, because they don't want to lose money. So yeah, big corporation, that's kind of scary. Number three, Tuskegee syphilis study. Experiments in the 40s in which the U.S. deliberately infected Guatemalan prison inmates with syphilis. Yeah, well, there's a lot to say about that one. Granted, they're prison inmates. I mean, not like the pillars of the community. But I think that that is really shady and really wrong to deliberately infect anybody with anything, regardless of what that person has done. Well, maybe if they're a sex offender, but who knows what these prisoners did, you know, some of these Central American whatever countries, you know, they could have stolen a candy bar and got 10 years prison and then infected with syphilis. So yeah, that's another pretty nasty thing that our government has done. Heart attack guns. Now, I know Edwin Becker on the shows on the other day mentioned heart attack guns, and you know, I actually had not heard that before. There are heart attack guns. It was disclosed by the CIA in 1975 that they had developed a heart attack gun which fires a bullet made of ice, and this ice bullet is dipped in shellfish toxin. And as maybe some people know, shellfish toxin is like some of the nastiest stuff on the planet. One thing, a little off topic, with these shellfish toxins is, I don't know, some of you might be aware of what a cone snail is. You know, if you go to places like the Caribbean, there's these little tiny shells. And, you know, they're colorful, and people go down to the beaches and they collect them, or when you're out snorkeling, whatever. What a lot of people aren't aware of is that there are certain species of these tiny cone shells, and these cone shells are predators to other small things. So they shoot out a dart, which is highly toxic, and it can kill a person. A little shell the size of my thumbnail can kill you. So if you're ever out there snorkeling, yeah, be careful if you're picking up live cone snails. Number five, the FBI poisoned alcohol during Prohibition. The FBI induced some sort of, I don't remember exactly what it was, toxin in the alcohol to dissuade people from drinking during Prohibition, because of course, as we all know, that was when the government decided alcohol was no longer okay. For six, there is cancer in your vaccines. The CDC admitted that tens of millions of Americans received contaminated polio vaccines with cancer. They were contaminated with cancer. You know, this is when I hear something like that, this is one of those things where I'm glad I have not been vaccinated in my adult life. I'm sure I was as a child, but I have been avoiding things like the flu vaccine forever, and I'm kind of scared, and the reason I'm scared is I'm getting into a medical program in several months where I have to show proof of vaccination, and I'm terrified of it because I'm going to have to get loads of all these things, and who knows what is in them. You know, they're supposedly supposed to be like minute levels of live virus. A lot of them are killed viruses, but I do not like vaccines, and that actually is a conspiracy theory in itself. But I won't dig into that right now. So yeah, conspiracy theories. There are tons of them, and lots of them are really popular right now. We have, just to mention a few, of course we have 9/11, which I could talk about forever. But I don't know if I'll touch on that one this evening. And then it was mentioned to me a little bit earlier about FEMA camps. That's another big one. You know, we had that New Orleans flooding several years ago, and the city didn't know what to do with people. There was mass panic, so they piled all these people into a stadium, and it was heinous because, you know, there were rapes and murders, and it was total anarchy down there. The government was going house to house, taking people's guns, and there's even a video out there where this lady, you know, is surrounded by these big armed men, and she was elderly, and she kind of, you know, has this handgun in her hand, and they totally give the beat down on an elderly lady who clearly wasn't a threat. And so what happens is, I think post-Katrina, you know, that's really when the FEMA camps became popular. And basically the premise behind that is the government is basically divided the country into various regions. I don't remember how many there are, five or six regions. And, you know, each region consists of a few states, and they have these supposed FEMA camps in them, and it's being reported that these camps are basically set up, you know, like concentration camps from Nazi Germany. That if you, it's, you know, the conspiracy is that if you're not part of, you know, the system, that they're going to put you into these camps for re-education. And that's if you're lucky. If you're someone that really is against the government, they're just going to flat out execute you by putting a red dot on your mailbox. That's another one, which I kind of think is funny, is the red dots on mailboxes. Apparently, it's being reported that people are finding various colored dots on their mail. And if you've got a red one, you're toast. A blue one means that you go to the FEMA camp. And so everybody out there, you might want to check your mailboxes. Now, I think that there is probably a much more realistic explanation, such as mail carriers, you know, the dots let mail carriers know which issue or whatever to deliver papers to your house. But, yeah, watch for those dots, because who really knows? And if you might want to go down to the dollar store and just stock up on blue dots so that you get, you know, the FEMA camp treatment and not, you know, taken out in the field and executed. So there's just a couple ones. So watch out for the FEMA camps. Also on the FEMA camps, like I said, it's just really popular right now. I suspect that these camps are real. I don't know for sure. There's a lot of videos on YouTube that are showing various locations that supposedly aren't prisons, and they're claiming that they're FEMA camps. What I suspect is probably behind it, at least partially, is that when Katrina happened, there was the mass chaos, and it was a truly major cluster with stuffing everybody in the stadium. And I suspect that FEMA camps are designed for those kinds of situations. If there's a major disaster, instead of stuffing everybody in a stadium or out in a field, that they're having a controlled environment. But of course, our government, as in the past, have done some really shady things, even to its own citizens. So who knows? Maybe it is for re-education, execution. There's also claims out there that somebody found a FEMA camp with a crematorium in him. So I wouldn't totally put it past that, but you never know what the possibility is. And with that, I see we do have a couple of callers on to talk about conspiracy theory. I'm rolling solo tonight, so please bear with me here. So I'm going to bring our first caller on. I'll probably bring both on at the same time, and hopefully we can kind of have a roundtable discussion this evening. I would ask for the callers to try and let each other speak, because I know sometimes when we get more than one person, it kind of gets to be a kind of confusing with everybody talking over each other. And bear with me, I'm looking at my phone numbers I've written down so I know who's this who. Because we actually have a listener that's listening through their phone. How cool is that? That's dedication right there. Okay, so I'm going to bring, looks like, Judy on. Hey, Judy.
Hi there, Jason. How are you?
You are live. How are you? And I know you had something you wanted to talk about with horses, which we were chatting briefly. I'm really a horse person, so anything bad with horses really makes me upset. And I do have another caller. I'm going to see who that is, and hopefully we can get a organized discussion going on. So let me see who this is. Hello. Who's this?
This is Will. How are you? Will Pritchard.
Oh, Will, what's up?
Not much. I told you I'd try to call.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you calling in. It kind of saves me. You know, I'm rolling solo. I'm trying to watch everything. And so, yeah, conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I was listening to it. Now, I haven't heard the one about the horses, but I'm pretty familiar with the ones with the FEMA camp. And so I understand. Please forgive me. I'm having to help do KP duty at the same time. And that was our 19th wedding anniversary, and I'm not about going to let the wife clean the kitchen by herself. So, but I'm here, and anything I can do to help with the network. But I'm here.
Well, yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the FEMA camps, and then we can go to Judy to talk about the horse situation.
Well, you know, of course, we all know FEMA's been stockpiling a lot of food and a lot of supplies, perishable, non-perishable items, and everything like that. Reports have come in that they're, the FEMA camps are basically my theory is to put the people who, I would just say, that are completely against what the government's doing, completely isolate them from the general population, basically get rid of the naysayers, get rid of the people who would try to make everybody wake up, and have these camps, get them isolated to where they're not spreading their quote-unquote evil disbeliefs for the government. Now, from the dots and everything that I've heard, I'm listening to another good friend of ours, his show, which was Edwin Fecker, was talking about the dots, talking about the FEMA camps and how it's being, I guess you could say, distributed with newspapers and stuff like that. Those different color strips have been on newspapers for, I'm going to say, the better part of 30 or 40 years now, so that's not nothing new. The way it was always explained to me is that it was separated by zip code. But if you really stop and take a look at it, some of the zip codes will have some of the same dots on it, stuff like that. Also, another thing, too, I don't know if you've ever noticed this. When I bought my car last December, when I got my tags for it, my tags arrived at the dealership, and both of them had a red dot on them.
I thought
that was rather odd that, you know, you would actually have a license plate with a dot on it. Of course, I removed it promptly because, you know, I'm not going to be dotted like that.
You're marked.
I'm marked, you know. But I've noticed that. Not only that, in mail, I've noticed that in different publications, you'll see certain dots. And of course, you know, they say that, you know, they have some way of disproving that it's not necessarily marking anybody. It's just a way of identifying certain things. But how do we actually know that for sure? And how do we actually know that they're not labeling somebody, you know? But, you know, when it comes to the government, I don't really doubt that they're capable of doing anything, you know, or capable of doing something like this. I'm not going to be one of those ones who's going to say that it'll never happen in this lifetime. You know, I'm a student of history, and history can change in a heartbeat. Tomorrow morning, we could all wake up under a dictatorship government. So you never know. As far as the camps go, I was listening to what you were saying earlier about there being some FEMA camps now that have crematoriums and stuff like that. I hope it's not true. The one thing I would ask, do we have any proof? Is there any satellite imagery, anything that could point to that, or any films, videos, anything that would point towards that being the case?
There is, but it's speculation, because you can only, you know, just because something looks like a crematorium doesn't make it a crematorium, you know.
No,
so, but
that's true.
Judy.
Yeah.
Judy, what do you think about the red dots in the FEMA camps?
Well, I think I'm going to Staples or Walmart or somewhere like that. I'm going to, if they put a red dot on me, I'm going to change it, because there's also yellow ones and pink ones, too, that just, you know, they allow you to live if you have a yellow one or pink one. So I just think I'm just going to go out and buy a whole lot of yellow ones and pink ones. You know, what's saying, I mean, I think that's kind of crazy, because, you know, say if there's somebody you really, really dislike out there and you really want them dead, you could just go out and put a red dot in their mailbox, or a blue dot if you, you know, just don't like them and just want to see them go away. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Yeah,
and
I
like,
if
I notice a friend of mine has a red dot, I could go change it to a yellow or pink one. Really?
Yeah.
Excellent point.
Well, I got some neighbors who need a red dot. No, just play. maybe some in-laws. but outside of that, yeah, that's crazy. You know, I'll be honest with you. The first time I've actually heard of FEMA camps and FEMA doing that was on Edward Becker's show. That was just the other night. But, as I stated, you know, I'm not going to put anything past the government doing that. You know, we have to kind of take a look at past history and what they've already done in certain applications. For example, the death panels for the Obamacare administration, how some people are being denied health care coverage for really fatal diseases like cancer and elderly, some people who are really not that old, or you would think that are not very sick, but getting denied coverage for cancer research or for what can be considered a very high cost procedure, like heart transplants and stuff like that. That saying you don't have to worry about not being covered, and then they're coming out saying, no, I'm sorry, but insurance is not going to pay for this any longer. My mom was a good example. That's what happened to her. So I'm not going to put it past them. So is it something that's possible if FEMA camps could be in the future? Well, you know, I think a good example of what our governments are capable of doing was this last incident with the Nevada farmer, Clive and Bundy. You know, that was 100% political. You know, it had nothing to do with turtles, had nothing to do with anything else, except by the very fact he was grazing on land that belonged to some high-ranking politician, period, pure and simple. And so, you know, our government really is capable of doing anything, but when a government becomes so huge like it is now, and we give them the power, really the only group of people that you really have to blame for it is the American voters, because we put these people in power. That's just my opinion on that, and that's all I'm going to say.
Well, you know, we've been seeing a lot of stories lately where the police have been just shooting a lot of citizens, and a lot of times it doesn't seem justified, particularly in states like New Mexico and some other states. And it was like kind of like when that Christopher Dorner guy, he was shooting cops, and naturally, like they should, the cops would become paranoid. The cops ended up shooting up, you know, some people delivering papers. I think you're right. The government is big, and, you know, the government kind of wants us. I almost feel like they want us to be nervous and in fear all the time. And then you get things like these shootings and this, a lot of this police activity. The cops are breaking down doors everywhere for the most ridiculous things. I mean, it really truly has become a surveillance and police state. Now, I don't know, now, Judy, where you're at, is there a lot of activity out there with the police and a lot of stuff with big government?
Not so much the government, but there's a lot of police officers around here, believe me. Everywhere you turn, there's a police on the corner here, a police on the corner there. I live right outside of New Britain, Connecticut, and in New Britain, Connecticut, there's a lot of murders there and, you know, a lot of drug action going on. Same thing with Hartford, Connecticut, New Haven, Connecticut, you got the same thing. Bridgeport, it's unreal. I mean, there's so many police out here and so many, you know, due to the drugs and murders and stuff, and it's horrible. It's horrible, you know.
Have you seen some localities such as San Diego, and I think some on the East Coast have been reporting over the last couple years where the military and the police are doing joint training operations, like at night where, you know, they fly their helicopters low and rappel off the helicopters into buildings and stuff. Has anything like that been going out in your neck of the woods?
I believe they had started that at one point in time. I'm not going to say for sure, but I know at one point that the National Guard was in working with the police department in Hartford, and that had to do with the drug trafficking in and out of Hartford, and, you know, all the crime rate in Hartford is extremely high, extremely, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's another conspiracy right there, the CIA, you know, involved in the drug trade. But
well, you know, there's a saying that, you know, the biggest arms dealer, the biggest drug trafficker is the CIA. And, you know...
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I know they do that through the police departments around here, too. The police will go and take the drug dealer's drugs and go ahead and sell them themselves.
Wouldn't doubt it, you know, or possibly use it.
Oh, don't doubt it, believe me, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's leverage also, and, you know, getting way of buying informants off, you know, whatever the case might be, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul, or, you know, dance with the devil to, you know, if you were the angel in the pale moonlight, or however it goes. But, you know, it's one of those things that we have to look at that a lot of this corruption has been going on for a long time. It's recently just become mainstream to actually report these type of things. However, when you look at the police state that we have now, I mean, people being detained for no good reason, you know, people being, like you said, shot for no apparent reason, people being someone coming in your home and arresting you simply because of somebody suggested that you might be some type of terrorist. The TSA listening to every conversation, or listening to this conversation right now, is one of those things that it's we're not there. There is no such thing as privacy, and the way that the way the country itself is going. Is our Constitution, which was based on our First, Second, Third, Fourth Amendment rights, all of our rights have been completely just bypassed. You know, it's not just this administration. You know, you have to look that this has been in play for decades, if not for longer than that. So, you know, it's something that is really scary that people really need to become aware of.
Yeah, and I one of the things also that's been going around the last couple of years, you know, in terms of privacy and rights, is that supposedly it's been reported for quite some time that there's a constitutional free zone, and I mentioned this on Ed's show, that surrounds the United States and goes 100 mile inland. So if you look at the perimeter of the country, go in inland 100 miles, and within that 100 miles, it's a constitutional free zone. So what they're reporting, and I think the ACLU was up in arms about it, is, you know, they're, it, on the books at least, is that you have no rights. You can be searched. And, you know, it's scary. If you look at some other localities, such as New York City, where they have a stop and frisk policy, for no reason a cop can just frisk you. And they're even employing certain technology, you know, where they have these scanners, so as they drive by you, you're walking on the sidewalk, they can see in your clothes and look for weapons. I mean, it is totally out of control in a major way.
Well, I know what this state did was they installed a device, some kind of a device in the state police cars that they could just, like, drive by you and tell if your car is legal or not.
Yeah.
Which is,
oh, wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it is.
Those license plate readers, and more departments are using them, and the amount of computing power they have is amazing. I don't remember what the numbers were, but it was thousands of license plates processed, like, per hour. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It is crazy. You know, it's more scary. The sad part is that, you know, this fringes upon the conspiracy, but this is more of a fact. You know, we're looking at the country I grew up in, and the country that the kids are growing up in now are completely different. And you're looking at a short 47 years, and in that time frame, you know, this country has went from what's something I was really proud to be part of, to something where I'm more of afraid to even be a citizen now. You know, and that's not, I don't think that's what our forefathers intended us to be, you know. And it's not so much afraid of, okay, well, I'm afraid of some terrorist attack coming in from foreign soil. I'm afraid of what's going to happen from within. You know, where is this government going? Where is this country, for that matter, going? You know, it's one of those really scary things that excuse my French, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, but their hard-on for control of our everyday life is one of those things that is really kind of scary, that they feel like they have to be in control of every little bitty thing we do. You know, this last, I don't know if you guys were keeping up with the news today, but they just announced they want another complete brand-new research on the climate change, global warming. They want to launch another set of studies on it to tell us how bad the ozone is and how bad the world has gotten because of the cause of man. You know, they're whipping a dead horse. They're trying to do everything they can to get evidence to prove that this is something that is going to completely destroy the planet. And again, it's all based on fear. They're more fear mongers than they are anything else. So it's crazy. You know, all these tactics, everything, you know, from the TSA listening in to us to what's happening over in Benghazi, a second hit that happened on Benghazi a couple of days ago, this thing about the Ukraine and Russia, and now the global warming, again, it's leading with fear. So what are they trying to say, and what are they trying to do? And where are we going to be in the next 10 years? And I have a question I'd like to pose to both of you. Do you really think that in the next 10 years, or even 5 years, that we'll be able to have radio talk shows like this, where we'll be able to actually voice our opinions and say what we feel is wrong with the country? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be a possibility in the next 5 to 10 years.
What do you think, Judy? You think that they're going to clamp down on this?
They're already clamping down on us as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'm going to bring back up the Obamacare there. It's like, you know, people that do get sick and don't have insurance, you know, they just, like, turn them away from Obama. You still have to pay for his insurance, and I know that they're starting to fine people if you don't have the medical insurance. You know, I mean, that's crazy. So if you can't afford medical insurance, and thank God I have medical insurance through Social Security, but I'll give you an instance. My son got really deathly ill in South Carolina. He almost died twice, and he had no medical insurance, and they wouldn't give him any medical insurance down there. So now, you know, he's looking at a huge hospital bill, and now because of that, he's probably going to end up getting a big fat fine because he didn't have medical insurance. And this is what they're doing. They're manipulating the people on this,
wow.
And it's just not right.
Well, I know that for me, Obamacare, I don't like it, but I'm one of these people that had to sign up because I don't have medical insurance because I was injured on the job, and so there's no medical insurance through that. But the whole process of it has basically taken 6 months to go through that whole thing, and it's a big and utter joke. In my case, it kind of benefited me because I would not have been able to get medical insurance because I have so many problems I've tried before. So at least now they can't say you can't have medical insurance because, you know, you have a pre-existing condition. But that might be, I don't know if that's off topic or not, but I want to make sure that we have time for Judy to talk about the horse thing.
Yeah, what's going on there, it started back in 2007 with the BLM and that's the Bureau of Land Management and BP Oil Company. BP Oil Company wants to run pipelines from the state of Louisiana all the way up to Oregon. And, of course, we all know that there's wild horses out there. So what they're doing is they're all firing up these helicopters and they're going and they're chasing these wild horses down which the wild horses, I mean, they're literally coming down on them, and I have seen videos where these horses are actually being run over by the helicopter, and petitions have gone out. We have the horse people, you know, we all gotten sent messages to President Obama, and the federal judge even said to stop doing this, but the BLM still did it, even during the winter time. And here you have a lot of pregnant mares getting hit, a lot of baby foals getting hit, and then once they round them up, they put them in this big pen where these horses, there's like maybe 50 to 60 horses in one pen. And they're fighting for their food, they're fighting for space, and they're killing each other. And the horses that make it through alive end up going to slaughter. I think this is the most horrible thing that the government could ever, ever, ever do, ever.
Wow. You know, so you're saying that the helicopters were actually, like, making contact with the horses? They were hitting the horses?
Yes, sir. They sure were.
Wouldn't that make a helicopter crash?
I don't know how they did it, but they did it. You could see them knocking down the horses. You could see horses falling over, literally, within these videos.
So I've got a question really quick. And let's put two pieces of information together. Did they say why they were doing this, first of all, Judy?
They said because they want to run BP Oil and Ruby Pipeline. They're connected together, and they want to run the pipeline from Louisiana all the way up to Oregon.
Okay,
and in order to do that, they need to move these animals, these wild animals. They have, you know, put barriers up for them, so, I mean, they can't even get to water, half of them, because of the barriers they're putting up. They figure by putting up the barriers around where there's good grazing, water for them to drink, that they'll go elsewhere, but in the meantime, they're still running them down. You know, July 6, 2010, I'm staring at it right here on the computer. It's called the Mustang Conspiracy.
Okay.
BLM, BP, big cattle murder, wild horses. It will expose a scandal involving MMS employees and big oil company. It says, then there's another one, stop government roundups of the wild horses and burros. And this is because BLM and this Ruby Pipeline want to get in there and put the pipeline in.
So if you've got billions and billions and billions of dollars, you can buy the help of the Bureau of Land Management and destroy wild horses, which, you know, really are part of Americana. Part of what makes America great is wild animals like this. But if you're a little guy and you've got a couple of hundred cows and you don't have that much money, but you have a whole lot of land, then the Bureau of Land Management is going to be against you.
Right.
So the same wild animals that they are now destroying because it's getting in the way of this huge corporation are insignificant to, what, 100 turtles?
Yep.
Maybe less than that, but they said were in danger by these cows. So a lot is starting to come into light here. When you put those two pieces of information together, there's got to be some kind of, there's got to be a bigger picture to this. There has got to be something. Something about this that is really kind of strange. And where's the animal activists, the green people? Where are they at? Are they out somewhere?
This is what I'm saying. I'm also involved with signing the petitions to have this stopped. I have also emailed Obama, you know, and like we all have done. And there's just, he doesn't care. That's why he doesn't care. I'm a horse owner. You think I want to see somebody running my horse down with a helicopter?
No, God, no. I understand where you're coming from. I just think it's really strange because Obama seems to have the Greenpeace people in his back pocket. You know, he flashes it out whenever it's convenient for him. But something like this here, it's weird. You know, this is very strange that they're not even being heard on this. You know, and how many horses have died today?
Probably a whole bunch. Probably a whole bunch.
I love horses. I'm like a major horse person.
Yeah. Is there a website that we can share on our website? Is there a link that we can share for people who want to sign this petition and who want to have their voices heard, so that way we can get this out there?
Right now, the website I'm on, it says petition closed. Okay, but I could start another. It's called change.org. And the petition that they sent to the President of the United States was to stop government roundups of wild horses in burros. Okay? This is what was going around. But, I mean, I'm getting them on it like a daily, on a daily basis in my... on my news feed and stuff to go ahead and sign these, you know?
Because, you know, the more awareness that you can bring to these particular types of situations, and the more that we can actually bring out. But this is just, I mean, it's a contradiction of terms. It is a contradiction of two different types of things, you know? They're really the same.
You have this guy, he's the Secretary of the Interior, Ken Salazar, okay, and he came up with this big thing. Okay, well, we'll round them up and we'll get them all fixed. Really? That's going to cost bunches of money.
Mm-hmm.
It costs $1,500 to have a colt gelded, okay, in this state anyway. You know,
that's ridiculous.
President Obama, he just doesn't care. He just does not care. I mean, I have a letter in here, and what I will do tomorrow, I'm going to save this page in my favorites, and I will screenshot it so everybody could see it. I was not prepared tonight for this, but since we were doing conspiracy, and this to me is a big conspiracy, okay?
Well, yeah.
Because it says, call on President Obama and members of the Congress to put a moratorium on the wild horse and burro roundups now until Congress has had a chance to investigate the wild horse and burro program to protect the animals, you know? And they even sent, there's even a letter to the President of the United States, U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives here, you know, to have them stop it, and it's just, you know, they're just not stopping it at all. They, like I said, they just don't care. They just don't care.
So this is a little off topic. Is there problems with people hearing the show? I was looking in chat.
Yes, there is. They were saying that they could not hear the show. We lost everybody in chat, but you and I, Jason.
So, was there anybody that could hear the show, or was it everybody couldn't hear it?
No, everybody that was in chat, they could not hear it. Evan left, Chris Fisher left, Paranormal King was the first one to leave. Well, Christopher was the first one to leave because he couldn't hear the show. Paranormal King says, good night, Billy, Judy, Jason, and Evan. I cannot hear nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
I would recommend if you're having problems with it, because Blog Talk always did that to me on my computer. If you're having problems with it, try to open it up in a new window. Like, try to open it up in, like, your default browser, which in that case would be, what are they called? Windows Media Player. Try to open it up in that. I don't know if anybody can hear me do that. That should fix the problem if that doesn't refresh your page or just completely restarted it altogether, and that might fix the problem. It's not fail-safe, but you know, at least that's a way to, excuse me, to hear the show. And remember, these shows are recorded, so you can always go back and hear it. But at the same time, we would really appreciate you know, if you can try to redo it so that way we can you can hear the show live. But Blog Talk has always plagued with these type of problems. I know when I was trying to launch mine not long ago, I was locked out of my I was locked out of mine. So I'm going to have to start over a brand new thing. But
well, what if it's because we've all been red dotted and we have been shut down by the NSA?
That could be it too.
I mean,
oh, that could be it too. Oh.
So if that archive show disappears, then I might be running to the hills.
Yeah, or if you now we would know for sure if we're supposed to like click on the link to listen to the show and there's a picture of a horse on there, then you know TSA was listening. So if we've been red flagged, especially if it's like a red stallion horse, we know.
Well, if I disappear mysteriously, just know that it was the government made me disappear.
Yeah.
So.
Or myself, if I go missing for about a week or so like that, and you see reports of me of sending pictures that I'm on a deserted island with at least 100 bottles of whiskey, you know that I was captured. Yes. My wife's looking at me weird, like, honey, did you have anything to drink today before you got on? She really weird. By the way, I want to give a shout out. Can I give a shout out, Jason? I know this is your show.
Go ahead.
I want to give a shout out to my wife, Melissa Pritchard. 19 years married to the same woman today, and it's been
congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's been a wild ride. It's been ups and downs, but you know the whole fun. Like my great grandmother used to say, is the spice of life. It's the good, the bad. You put it all together, and you make a nice gumbo. And that's exactly what it was. 19 years married to a wonderful woman. God couldn't have blessed me with anybody else. I just can't imagine being with anybody else. And I'm very thankful. She's a key cornerstone part of our paranormal team and a key cornerstone part in this and in my life. So I really thank God for her every day.
And our audience would like to acknowledge that. Hey, so, never mind. I thought we had a number, but it wasn't. So I got to ask you both. We have a few minutes left. I want to ask you both a very specific question regarding conspiracy theories. And we can start with Will to answer this. Was 9/11 an inside job?
Yeah.
And to what extent do you believe?
I think they knew about it. I think they planned it. I don't think that they actually paid people to fly buildings and airplanes into buildings, but I think most definitely they knew about it. And I think the CIA was trying to cover it up. And again, if you look at all the data that's just come, all the reports of what happened prior to weeks prior to the actual conspiracy, or actually planes flying into the building, you have to think. I mean, why would there have been so much activity going on at these Twin Towers? Like, for example, a very well-known demolition team going through the entire building, from floor to floor, the World Trade Center, taking measurements, working to the wee hours of the morning. Why would they be given access to this building if they didn't have some kind of plans? And then also by the very fact of the relationship between the president and the person who constructed this, and by the very fact that for entire almost 8 years of his presidency when this happened, that they were just never able to find him. And then within, what, the first 4 years, Obama, of course, you know, capped it, which was his really only crowning achievement. Do I think it was an inside job? Yes. To what extent? I really don't know. I'm going to be completely honest with you. But do I think that the government knew about it? Absolutely.
We'll never know about it, though. That's the thing.
Well, no.
Yeah.
No, there's all the parties in it either aren't going to say anything, and it'll just be just like the JFK thing. You know, they'll have a panel of discussion on it. They'll do an investigation, and they'll close the books down for 100 years. You know, just like they did the JFK thing. You know, I don't know if y'all remember back in the 80s when that movie JFK came out. They said, well, to prove the press wrong, we're going to bring out the books. We're going to look at it. They brought the books out right before they made a huge announcement. They said, we're going to lock up the books for another 75 years. And, well, if there's nothing to hide, let's see the books. Let's see what's going on. And they just wouldn't. You know, this whole 9/11 conspiracy thing, you know, when you read the evidence on it, when you read the books on it, and you read what was actually said about it, it really kind of leaves you scratching your head. There's so much that is left unsaid. Now, personally working security around that time frame, I can tell you for about a year prior to that, there was a lot of weird activity going on in federal buildings. You know, we were getting a lot of reports of people just coming into federal buildings of Asian descent and of also of Iraqi descent for no apparent reason, just walking the floors of the buildings. Now, why would that happen? You know, unless they were targeting something. And who would know about it and who would allow it to happen but the U.S. government? And who would have the knowledge, who would have the ability to launch something like that? I don't think people who live in caves really would have the type of technology, training, manpower, and money to actually do something like that. That's just my own personal opinion.
I'm totally with you. How about you, Judy?
I think there's always going to be conspiracies, which I do have a few that I had looked up for the other show, and I have a list of conspiracy theories that they were talking about here. Of course, the red dot, blue dot, and stuff, you know. They're like false flag operations, and we touched on the medical. You know, there's the Armenian conspiracy, which had to do with a lawyer. There's an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that goes back to the Middle Ages, even. I mean, this is how back the conspiracies go.
There's a lot of them. Well, we only got a couple minutes left. I have one more question for both of you. Did we land on the moon? Or is that a conspiracy? Because that's a conspiracy theory out there.
I think we did. I honestly think we did. You know, and I say that only because I know the people from that generation. And I don't think they would have been able to do that such an elaborate hoax. I mean, understanding that there's a lot of people out there that are saying, you know, it's probable. I've seen all the evidence in the shows. You know, I'm sorry. Maybe it's just my ability to want to believe in America's greatness, but I think we landed on the moon. I'm going to say I believe we did.
How about you,
Judy? I feel the same way. I think we landed on the moon too.
It's just one of those.
Being,
Those crazy conspiracy theories.
Oh, no, I know. I can remember, though, being in diapers, standing
okay,
in front of the television.
No, we're talking about landing on the moon. Yes, there is a conspiracy about that, and they claim that the Apollo moon landings were staged in a Hollywood movie.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying, Will, about being a kid? You remember that coming out?
I remember sitting in front of a TV screen when I was a kid watching it, and I was in diapers. And I remember my diaper fell. That's all I remember. that's all I remember. But I remember standing in front of that, and I look back at the tapes now, and, you know, number one, our technology back then wasn't that great in Hollywood. Okay, look at some of the movies that they were putting out at that time frame. Look at some of the quote-unquote special effects that they had. I mean, for crying out loud, it was about the same time they dressed people up in monkey suits and did Planet of the Apes. And you can tell there's a man in a monkey suit. Now, it kind of goes back to the Bigfoot thing. You know, it has to be a real animal. Back in those days, the technology just wasn't that great. Yeah, and in today's day and age, the technology's there. But back then, no. There was no such thing as green screens. There was no such thing as microcomputers that you could create a backdrop of the moon. No, it was just too big of an elaborate hoax. I think it would have cost way much more for the government to create that than it would actually to send a man to the moon.
I totally agree with you. Well, you know, we're out of time, and I think Blog Talk's having issues because my on-air light just went off, and now it says stream connecting. So I think we're victims of Blog Talk. So I don't even know if this part's going out, but I think that would be a good opportunity to close it. And I'm going to double check with the archived show. Hopefully people can check for the archived show.
We had somebody by the name of Tiny Squirrel Nuts in here that says, what's with the choppy audio? So.
I don't know what's going on.
Well,
I know who that is.
Good to you. Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you, Judy. Thank you.
Nice meeting you, Will.
Now, hook me up on Facebook. I'm Will Parra, P.I. Pritchard. And,
I have you as a friend already.
All right, then. Cool, I'll be on Facebook in a few minutes. I'm with my cell phone. The only computer I have is my cell phone. And so I'll be on there in a little bit. But, Jason, thank you for letting this old man call and gab with you guys, and I appreciate it.
No, thank you both for coming on. You kind of saved me. I don't know that I would have been able to talk for an hour straight. I probably would have lost my voice. But I want to thank you both for coming on the show tonight, helping me out. You know, it's really appreciated. And now, do you guys want to mention your groups real quick before you take off?
Ladies first, please.
Yes, I am the founder of Ghost Images Paranormal Investigations of Connecticut. I do have a Facebook page, GIPICT. Come down and check me out. We have different things going on in there every day.
Awesome. I'm the co-founder, lead investigator, and chief cook and bottle washer of Dead Creek Paranormal. And we're gearing up for a huge investigation of a state park here in San Antonio, Texas, which is right across the street. And after that, we're going to be going downtown to a cavern that was built in 1911. So we've got some really exciting things coming up. But, yeah, check us out on Facebook, Dead Creek Paranormal.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for coming on. I am Jason Ophir, and this is Paranormal Horizons. Check out the archived show on Blog Talk Radio. You can also check out Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And check out our friends at Beyond the Edge of Reality. That is also on Blog Talk Radio. They have a variety of shows. And also check out Edwin Becker's new show, was it The Hot Zone? That's also on Blog Talk Radio and part of the Beyond the Edge of Reality network. You can find all those great shows on their channel. And stop by and see my new Facebook page, Jason Ophir's Para Analysis on Facebook. Just type in Jason Ophir, and I'm just being goofy on there and retarded. And with that, we're going to close the show. Thank you both. And
you're welcome,
I'll be
Jason.
Talking
you're
to
awesome,
you both
Jason.
Soon. Alrighty, thank All you. Right. You guys are great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.